thought we'd do a little review because we've been away from it for a while, and it's amazing how it slips. And because we're going to come back to the beginning pretty soon, which I think is interesting. Remember, we started with the murder of the hero. Then we had this business back and forth between spirit and matter, Elijah and Salome, the old man and the young woman. Then that led to a death. Ishtar appeared, which is Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh, the distinguishing feature was that he became more human through loss as opposed to more dominant through victory, which was the classical hero. He was put in an egg and was reborn. And then he came back problematic. And we had all the pros and cons between the sun, the ego, I'm powerful, oh, but there's a limit to power, God, evil, Christianity, the return of the dead. And then that eventually led into these male figures of the child, Phanes, Atmavictu, and Telesphorus. And so what I see going on there is this, basically, very simply, the spirit and matter conflict was endured, and then it gave birth to this new masculine standpoint, the child, Telesphorus, etc. And that new standpoint is really the voice that, you might say, dictated Jungian psychology to Jung. So we see a split, we see a resolution, and then as soon as we had those guys, we had the section on page 305, three prophecies, war, magic, and religion. And I read you that quote from Mysterium, that the opposites in alchemy can either attract each other or repel each other. And so the attraction would be the magic, and the repulsing would be the war. So what we're seeing now is the beginning of what will later be alchemy. He calls it magic because he doesn't understand what it is. And religion, because what he will do is compare what he learns about inner transformation with the symbolism of the church. And how really this, certainly in my view, is an evolution of religious consciousness. Page 307, we talked about the gift of magic, and there we met the serpent. And the serpent really described itself. 308, the serpent is the sum of all mysterious forces. Page 308, note 244, serpent represents the way, you could say the Tao, which is never straight. 309, it was linked up to the runes and magic. And 317, the serpent's path, which is the way life goes if you're living deeply. It's not a straight line. You're open to your feelings, your emotions, your desires, and they buffet you around. We'll come back to that serpent. 312, which is the section we're on now, it's called the magician. Again, we could rephrase it as the alchemist. But he had no alchemy yet, so he's using the closest term that he's got. 313, he talks about the limit of reason. Now, that's certainly consistent with what we know of dream work. Now, the serpent on 318 leads to some confusion to him. Is it his soul, or is it his desire? And one seems contradictory to the other. But what he realizes is that the soul is born, now I'm jumping ahead 20 years, the soul is born through the alchemical transformation of desire. But these issues come up. In a way, it's the old spirit and matter question again, but getting resolved. So I think we see resolution in that kind of a discussion. And then that was what we did for the last 17 years. Just joking. Just seeing if you're paying attention.
Yeah.
So I felt that page 318 was a real resolution of what had come. We're going to come back to that same question maybe in a week, a meeting or two. Just a good... push you back up and say, and then the figure who appears is the devil. And I felt a fantastic definition of the devil is on page 319. Ambition, greed for fame, lust for action. That's desire. Why is it devil? Because it often has a devilish effect on us. And in that sense, the snake and the devil are very close, just like in the book of Genesis. So he's back now wrestling with this so-called evil principle. Evil, I think, at this point in his life, because how he's living this out is the recognition of the harm his relationship with Tony Wolf is doing to his family. Or if not the harm, the pain that it's causing his wife. So that to move ahead, he realizes it's not all good. It's not all simplistic. And he's coming to grips with that. So Satan is brought up, and then Satan slips back into his hole, and that's where we stopped. And what we're going to see, all of this is going to give birth to Kabiri. I looked everywhere for a good picture of the Kabiri. I couldn't find any. The Kabiri are dwarfs. Just think of, I think you can even think of Walt Disney's dwarf figures. They're short, they're misshapen, generally hunchback, somewhat lame, generous on one hand, irascible on the other hand. And they are classic images of creativity. Dwarfs, Kabiri, Dactyl, all these small, and leprechauns, these small, misshapen, good-natured, but don't make them mad, because they can cause a ruckus. That appears in dreams quite frequently. And most of you probably have had a dream of a finger. Finger is a good image of the dwarf, because in Greek, the word for finger and the word for dwarf are the same. So, it's a portrait of the creative instinct. So what he's gotten out of all of this mess is contact with his creativity. And if creativity comes from any depths, it always involves emotional, moral complications. And that's one of the things he's facing. Look at the art. Find me a spotless artist. They don't exist. Because they're driven by a passion to create, but it's the same passion as desire. And that's where we stopped.
When I came in today, I had an angel pin on that fell off. I told him it was because my ears
still can't hear. Yeah, this is something you got to swallow. In any depth work, facing that not everything in you is angelic, and admitting it, asking it its purpose, trying to find a way to live it that is not going to destroy your own value system, but realizing sometimes at some points a compromise will have to be made. And then we stopped at 320, right before history initial 164.
You know, you said, Gary, one time that the church really has not helped to make or produce whole people who are generous. And I think that what you just described is like, of course they wouldn't, because they want to keep our minds away from it, but recognizing that honoring us or devilishness in ourselves and giving us room to breathe, you know, it does help one to accept another person's things that it may irritate you or things you think that's wrong with it. You just get more generous in the process of I remember when you said that, but if that, as I was looking at some people in my life that have become more and more bitter, stubborn, ungenerous, blaming.
Yep. And you realize, I'm not so great either. So it's the foundation of genuine humility. Not put on humility, but genuine compassion. And the other side, if you don't know your shadow, you think everyone else has got the problem. And you're going to save them. You know, I want to say to these people, you know, what's so great about you? Why don't you save yourself? Shut up. Really. And it's an epidemic.
It was there's a new book, I was looking on NPR, there's a new book out called The Higher Call, and it's about the story of a German soldier, a German pilot, and an American pilot, and how they both were gunned down, probably in the same fight, behind German lines, and the German let him go. They became friends. I don't know the story. They became friends, and the German let him go. Their way, and they reconnected like 60 years later, and it's just a real powerful, sounds like.
I wonder if it's,
accepting the enemy and helping them out, and so they went to their grave, I guess, you know, loving each other.
Yeah. I wonder if it's the same, there's a YouTube video, I wonder if it's not the same, it's similar, of Allied fighter pilot in World War II, his plane was shot the bejeebies, and he was in a dogfight over Germany, struggling to get back, and a German fighter was in position to shoot him down, and he couldn't maneuver out of way. And then for some reason the German pilot went past him and looked at him, and he was all bloody, and the pilot couldn't do it. And 60 years later they discovered they were neighbors living in Vancouver.
Wow.
And became friends. Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing, you know, where the self-righteous attitude would say, well, he's wrong, you know, I'm right. And then they talked to him, and the German said, I couldn't do it. You paid your price. You were flying home. I was going to let you do it. So that kind of humanity. Okay. I think 164. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you'll notice is the history of the initials are getting thinner. And I think it's not unfair to say he's losing interest. Or it's losing intensity, because he's approaching resolution. Think of the care he gave some of those earlier ones. So that we'll see, today maybe even, how this is starting to wind up. And when we see it wind up, we're going to see the next image that comes back up is Philemon, Salome and Philemon. So that we've gone full circle. And, you know, I've told you, and I don't mind telling you again, that what I've try to understand here is my own interpretation. Who knows what he would say if you were sitting here? He might say, oh, you're all full of crap. But I think the fact that we're seeing this thing go back to the beginning in the spirit and manner image might suggest we're on the right track. So, Satan definitely crawls definitely like a mole backwards into his hole. Again, the symbol of the Trinity and its entourage rise up in peace and equanimity to heaven. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, no, we're right back at the beginning.
Right, so it doesn't seem like a union anymore.
No, but wait, because I think you know, these unions aren't ever final, and pretty soon we're going to see it was a union, and that is the Kabiri.
Yeah, the Kabiri are the third thing.
Yeah,
right?
The third thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I first heard it, I thought, oh, shit, what have we done for the last 2 years? I thank you, Serpent, for hauling up the right one for me. Everyone understands his words, since they are personal. We can live, again, a long life. We can waste thousands of years. So there we really do have the positive function. Now, I hate the word evil, but of difficult, overpowering, upsetting emotional states and physical desire. Okay, then we look at this historian initial. I go down a little bit. Nothing has happened. You see where I am below HI 164/2. Nothing has happened yet. The world has yet to begin. The sun is not yet born. The watery firmament has not been separated. Again, I thought, so what have we been doing? But what we're going to see is the Kabiri lead to the tower. And the tower we could take literally as Balogun, I think, which has not been built yet, but also as his presence, the presence of his creative work in the world.
The tower is also that symbol of the Axis Mundi, the thing that runs between below and above.
Yeah. Too. As you probably heard me say, as far as I was told in this kind of oral Jungian tradition, that he built the last leg of the tower in Balogun because he felt his psychology had ignored the ego. And so that he was making a statement that it's the ego that incarnates the self. So what I think we've had up to now is foreshadowing, and it's the ideas, and it's the inspiration to begin working, and that has not yet started. But with the Kabiri and the towers, it will start. So that we've had the foreshadowing, and now we're seeing the work start to take shape. So all this is prelude. Make sense? We have not climbed onto the shoulders of our fathers, since our fathers have not yet become. Now this next sentence puzzled me. They have only just died and rest in the womb of our bloodthirsty Europe. Now, either that was extremely precognitive, or it was written after the first draft of the Red Book. Because right now, we are roughly at February 1914. And the war didn't start till August 14, I think it was, Carl? Does that sound right? Yeah. So, maybe he wrote that later. Or maybe he was being precognitive, because he'd already had those bloodbath dreams before this. But I think it shows if you take the father as the average way of seeing things, the law, what is standard operating procedure, it's showing that it's no longer valid.
Well, he could have been referring to also the history of warfare in Europe, too. I mean, Kaiser Wilhelm's victory over the French in 1870, and the desire for revenge over on both sides for the peace that was established at that point only led to the First World War. And of course, the whole history of warfare in Germany, 30 years war, the 7 years war,
That could be it then. Yeah.
History of bloodshed.
Yeah, bloodthirsty Europe would fit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 30 years war, a quarter of the inhabitants died.
Yeah.
I mean, mainly civilians.
Right.
And the 7 years war was not fit to heal. He was certainly aware of his dramatic history.
Yeah. So maybe that's it.
Of course, I mean, he's Swiss. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's you know, he's 30 miles from Germany. It's like here to Greenwood, really.
Hmm?
It's like here to Greenwood, Zurich to Germany.
So that side of the mountain is probably, you know, identified honestly.
Yeah.
Probably at one point it was part of Germany.
Yeah.
No, and he spoke
the German.
I mean, he
just speaks
German, French,
and
he spoke the German.
Yeah.
Language
wise. Yeah. Yeah, I think his forefathers were German. His great grandfather, I think, was German. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, an illegitimate son of Goethe.
Oh,
that's what they say. He quotes it, not sure. Okay. We stand in the vastness, went to the serpent. So that just to me is what we've been saying. He's taken this principle seriously of instinct. Skip a little bit. The devil is probably supposed to create it. More of the same. He's greed. He's sham. He's created from the lump of manure in which the gods had secured their eggs. Now that's a double whammy. You see the irony in that? Remember the scarab rolled its eggs in dung? And that was the birth of the god. Rebirth of the god. So he's traversing this polarity, but in some way identity between the devil and the divine. How they are working together. Arise then, son of darkness and stench. He just goes on and on. May you freeze, devil. Go farther down. You mother ape, etc. Now, again, you could almost say, well, that's awful hard on the devil. And maybe there is something to that, that what he's achieved is a partial integration. I asked myself if there was any hint in there of the unresolved issue which will come back to haunt him in 1944 with his heart attack, in which he really started writing about evil. He really hadn't written about it at that time. And I don't know if you remember in some of these seminars we've done, these oral seminars, when people are disrespectful or of God or something like that, he'll sit on them. So that he's still somewhat attached to the light. But, you know, as you know, these things are a spiral. So he's probably, either I'm off, I'm wrong, or he's integrated enough for the moment. And then the Kabiri appear.
What do you mean he'll sit on them?
Scold them. Don't be blasphemous. That's, you know, it's
so on. He's taking a kind of a moral tone that he probably later would not have
done. I think so. Because, yeah. I mean, answer to Job is pure blasphemy. That's a guess. I don't know. But, when we read material, I'm always looking ahead. Is it resolved? And it doesn't have to be resolved. Maybe it's enough to be resolved for the moment. But then looking, okay, down the road, you might come back to this issue. But for the moment, it's fine. And the issue now was the birth of Jungian psychology, and he's got that.
That one sentence really sounds like Falcon. Today you shall be forged with heavy hammers so that the gold of the gods is
right. Right. So it's almost in one moment he blasts the devil. On the other hand, he works with the devil. But that's the nature of unconsciousness. I think we might say that we're seeing the issue that's going to reappear, you know, 30 years later. You know, I heard from people who knew him that the Jung after the heart attack wasn't the same as the Jung before the heart attack. So I think he went, might have really gone through a, not only a creative rebirth, but a personal. The edge was gone. I think he had an edge up to 44. You can feel it in the seminar sometimes. Pontificates. But a necessary developmental sequence. Okay. So he talks about the Kabiri. What new arts do you bear up from the inaccessible treasure chamber, etc. That's the creative instinct. Tom Thumb, classic image of creativity. And then he starts talking to them there after the break. Is there anything else I wanted to say? Let's see. No, that's all. Okay, so far? So all of this was to get us to the Kabiri, and the Kabiri are going to get us to the Tao. And so now we're seeing the fruit of what he's gone through. We come to greet you as the master of the lower nature. See how that creativity and the lower nature are connected. And maybe that's enough for that. We are the juices that rise secretly, not by force, but sucked out of inertia and affixed to what is growing. We know the unknown ways and the inexplicable laws of living matter. Very, very positive images. When I moved into the house in Switzerland, I lived there where I wrote my thesis and did my supervised work, etc. I had a dream that there was a colony of dwarves living underneath it. So they're very helpful, very positive little characters. And you want to be on good terms with them, because they certainly can make a mess. Okay, so 321. We then carry up what slumbers in the earthly, what is dead and yet enters into the living. So that's what creativity does. It brings back old forms and recasts them in a modern garb. We do this slowly and easily, what you do in being in your human way. We complete what is impossible for you. You forget the lethargy of matter. You want to pull up with your own force what can only rise slowly, ingesting itself, affixed to itself from within. That is just a beautiful description of creativity. We complete what is impossible for you. So you might say creative hunches have their own life. And then we have I skipped one. I think I did. I guess that's 166. Yeah. That's the I don't have another thing to say there other than there's a growth. But we hold things up, we built, we place stone upon stone, now you stand on solid ground. And then we forged a flashing sword for you with which you can cut the knot that entangles you. This entangling and this cutting, I understand to be the mess that we go through to create. In his case, it was the marriage triangle. That's the entanglement. And often, often creativity involves that. But on one hand, they are the mess. They lead to the mess. And they are the way out of the mess. They're both. Because they create the mess to make you so miserable you have to do something. And in doing something, you create, and in creating, the mess is transcended. Well, that's so they place before him the twine knot, locks and seals you. That would be life's difficult moments. And then we get into the discussion about the brain. And Jung says, a little farther, about the middle of the page, did you give me a sword so that its flashing sharpness slices through my brain? What were you thinking of? And I understand that to mean that the intellect alone can't be creative. And often requires a sacrifice.
The sword itself would be something like creative insight.
Yeah, right.
Discernment.
Yeah. Discernment. Kaviri, the womb of nature wove the brain, the womb of the earth gave the iron, so the mother gave you both entanglement and severing. What I was just saying. Another type of entanglement is entanglement in our brain. Man is entangled in his brain, and the sword is also given to him to cut through the entanglement. So, when we're in a mess, we obsessively try to think out of it rather than create and take it as a starting point for our creation, which will lead us forward. And so that the entanglement is the situation and our inability to get untangled by thinking.
I just think that has a lot to say about psychology, because people try to think themselves into a better state of mind or a better place.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
Absolutely. And if it does work, somebody pays for it later. Usually the kids. Okay, so that just goes on. We are the entanglement, bottom of the page, left column.
I'm sorry, the other thing I wanted to say, the creative process there, it just feels like it's nothing. In my experience, it just felt like nothing. I mean, just writing this dribble, and it didn't feel important, but it needed to. That was the beginning of it.
That's the flowing back through the thousand canals. And that's why the Kaviri have to be sacrificed. Because they can also let things flow back into the unconscious.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that letter that Jung wrote at the end of his life, I blew it. What I did is trash, insignificant. I never lived up to my potential. So.
What?
Is
he just to himself?
No, I forget to whom, but it's interesting. Apparently Edinger and Adler had quite a tiff over it. Edinger wanted it included, and Adler didn't include it. It's not in the collected letters.
Hmm.
Yeah. Edinger published it separately.
How are we to understand that letter?
Well, certainly it's not true, but that we all fall into these moods of worthlessness. And no matter what you do, it's going to happen. And not, and that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Not to think, oh, there's something wrong with me because I fall into despair about my work. I think, you know, the greater the work, maybe the more the despair about what you've done. And it's not something to fix. It's something to know it's going to happen and make sure you don't do anything stupid when you're feeling that way. No, I think he did mail a letter. Or, you know, like...
Like destroy your work.
Destroy your work if you're an artist, slash, you know, slash your paintings.
Right. Yeah, how many... Trying to think of who was burnt a lot of their paintings. I'm sure there's more than one, but it's tragic.
Yeah.
Like that bottom sentence, I mean, the last sentence, you know, next to the last paragraph of poem one, not from nature, you give birth to creatures she herself wants to destroy.
Where's that, Jane? First column?
First column, the second to last paragraph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this is a special destruction, though, that keeps the creative flow from going backwards, going back in, because that's what they talk about next. The fact that the sacrifice will keep things from flowing back.
Yeah. You want to say more?
So that he says the Kabiria are the thousand canals through which the creative can flow back again. Even though they bring it up, they are they're a canal. So that means things go two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they want that sacrifice, the Kabiria themselves, so that their creative efforts remain in consciousness.
Right.
So that nothing brought up should flow back again. That's what their sacrifice is all about.
Right.
And that's the tower.
Right. So I'm just trying to think how to put that in ordinary language. Is it something like when you create something, that's what you have to believe in? So that the voice of the destructive side of the voice of creativity can't destroy that.
Mm. You have to honor that thing that's been created.
Yeah.
Without taking away your, I want to say, faith in it, but your investiture of consciousness in it.
I would say, yeah, that object shows you're not full of crap. And that can never be taken away. The fact that it has been created can never be taken away. You can destroy it. But it's once been created, it's always been created. It might be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it's dealing with this terrible suffering of real creativity, that it's stupid, it's inane. You know, if you had any brains, you'd be an investment banker. It's not going to amount to anything anyway. And that apparently comes from the same source as the inspiration.
The inspiration is like a channel.
Yeah.
Two-way.
Two-way channel.
Mm-hmm. But to birth it, evidently, that's what this Kaviri sacrifice is. It must be some sort of melding with consciousness, in a way. Because it doesn't, in order that it does not flow back.
Yeah. Well, just the way I understand it is, I am the person who did that, and you can never undo that.
Then there's the idea of the person themselves and their thoughts about it.
Well, but that person themselves is the person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the first half of the second column on 321. Well, maybe we could look at the next paragraph after what Carol read. Should I sever my own roots, kill my own people, whose king I am? Should I make my own trees wither? You really are the sons of the devil. We're going to see later. The answer is yes. Then, I set foot on new land. We have a straight initial, but whoops, did I forget that? I may not have put that in. Yeah.
I don't think you included those in your images.
Oh, maybe I didn't do that. But that's, that's 169, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Is there an historian initial by...
Oh, I know why I didn't, because it's not... oh, this is a red letter. That's why I didn't put it
right.
In.
Like all the ancestors. The history of man. Because up in far, far away, some become very primitive looking and skeletal like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the top right is a skeleton, mm-hmm. I think, because we see their
skeleton faces all along.
Oh, where's the distance? Yeah.
The top right figure.
Corner.
Oh, I see.
And then, yeah, all the ancestors. And yet, oddly, some of the ancestors turn their back to the model on the bottom, the more modern-looking mm-hmm. ancestors.
Yeah, I wonder if this is the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it. So it makes me wonder if it's the completion of a cycle, the old concepts, being left behind, or is it the reverse? Is it new concepts being recognized by the ancestors and some people ignoring them?
Yeah, that's what I think. That mandala is the new insight.
The ancestors see it first.
Yes.
But the modern...
Don't see it.
And that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, he really, right or wrong, I don't think put much stock in whether his work was accepted. But that one of the very last dreams he had, when he was asked to write a chapter in what became Man and His Symbols, I think he initially refused, and then he had a dream that people were waiting to hear him speak, and then he decided on that basis to do it. So this could be that earlier stage when world just wasn't interested.
If you look really closely, that diamond body's in the center of this flower. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the contrast is good enough for you to see it.
I see. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This reminds me of that picture where the woman was in the center and the feet.
Uh-huh.
And the back people.
Should we go back to that one, maybe? How far back was it?
Yeah. Except in our present figure, most of the ancestors look on with interest. And mm-hmm. Here, everyone is looking on with hostility except for the one figure. One or two.
That idea of the check being.
So I guess, Jane, you could say that the ancestors have come to the fore here with the recognition of that center. So it's like a growth of the previous one that you mentioned, maybe.
Yeah, I think. At least they don't look horrified.
No, they're looking on with interest mm-hmm. and intensity.
But yeah, on the bottom right-hand side of the bottom line, the second person looks like the Lincoln.
Like who?
Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Right
here?
Yeah. And I'm reading those letters between Freud and Jung right now when he talks about how the Americans, they were so Puritan, they, you know, had trouble even letting them print that. The Christian stuff.
Who's
that,
Freud?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, anything else?
Figures at the bottom, the redness. Yeah. They're different from the others, the rest of the grouping.
Yeah, the more we come to the present day, the better the resolution of the figures becomes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe that speaks of the blood experience in the
Would the figure in red be a church figure, though? Figure from the church?
No, that's cardinal or
something. Mm-hmm.
But they're
other
ones.
Oh, really? Oh,
with the red cap on?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know that I've even ever seen a picture of Stalin.
He's got a little bit of goatee. Didn't Stalin have a goatee?
No, Stalin had a big sort of walrus type mustache.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a commie. Did communists? Well, yeah, no, they didn't even exist at this point.
Yeah,
1917, right?
Well, there were. The Marx had been around for some time, and there were communist cells in various cities of Europe. Trying to establish Marxist principles and doctrines, really just small groupings. But they didn't have power. They found the cells in Moscow found the weakness of the revolution, so they found a foothold.
Maybe this. What everybody else mentioned about the ancestors, does that relate to like the archetypes or the stuff that came through evolution?
felt at this time?
Partially. Remember we had that bit way back where he was about ready to dismiss Christianity because of the Imitation of Christ book. And he said, well, all Christianity does is teach you to idealize somebody else. And then all the dead started coming in, and he realized that these past truths also have some value to them. So that's how I would understand the ancestors. Yes, and that could include the wisdom of apes. Yeah, it certainly could, yeah. The wisdom of animals. We've talked about some of those videos we've seen about animals doing incredibly intelligent things. So, yeah. And that, you know, and I guess I'm as guilty as anybody else. You look at the church and you go, yuck. But Jung didn't go only yuck. He said we have to recover what is valuable in it. Okay? So we are at the tower. Should we have the lights again? And that's the last picture we have.
Where?
I set foot on new land. Nothing but up should flow back. No one shall tear down what I have built. My tower is of iron and has no seams. So, you know, maybe we could just look ahead to the footnote on the next page. Footnote 315. In Psychological Types, Jung commented on the symbolism of the tower in his discussion of the vision of the tower in The Shepherd of Hermas. In 1920, Jung began planning his tower polygon. So I'm assuming that the tower came out of this active imagination. And what he wrote there, I checked it in Psychological Times, that's volume 6. The tower, Jung wrote, the tower undoubtedly has the meaning of something solid and secure, as in Psalm 61, verse 4, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. So I think you could take that literally as his tower and metaphorically, symbolically as his decision to begin writing, speaking, publishing about Jungian psychology and establishing its place in the world, and that it would be a battle. And nobody likes battles. But they're necessary. The Kabiri build it, and the master builders were sacrificed with the sword on the battlements of the tower. Just as a tower surmounts the summit of a mountain on which it stands, so I stand above my brain from which I grew. I've become hard and cannot be undone again. No more do I flow back. Now, these next sentences puzzle me. I am the master of my own self. I admire my mastery. I am strong and beautiful and rich. The vast lands and the blue sky have laid themselves before me and bowed to my mastery.
Now, where is that?
See where it says image 69, 169?
Oh, back here.
Yeah. Yeah, I went ahead just for the footnote.
And if you remember back on 3:10, how much humility it takes to be yourself. I think we've got a contradiction. Mm-hmm. So that we've gone a cycle, but there will be more to go.
Well, even up here where he's saying, "Will I miss you as servants of the master? I need slaves." And the Kaveri says, "The master serves himself," which is contradictory to what this is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that next sentence, he says, "I serve myself and I myself serve."
Right. Well, yeah.
Well, it's filled with ambiguity. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where he was at that time. Remember, he's only 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And I checked, his last daughter would have been born about this time. Oh, he's probably feeling, yeah, it's the moat sitting. He had produced 5 kids, living in this gorgeous mansion on the lake. He had it made. But we have to balance that out against everything else we've seen. This is just one island of inflation that hasn't yet been integrated. And I think it may fit with the earlier theme we saw of the sort of identify with the Trinity.
Well, I guess if he had to go above his own brain, that's going to be a little inflating. That's what he says.
I know that's what he says.
Beyond his own brain.
I wondered if it meant to the symbolic mind.
Well, yes, I would say.
Yes, but does he know that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the inflation is
here. Any case, it's a small sliver. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we do our inner work, we look for what has been done, what's being done, and what will be done. And just because everything is not done at the moment, we don't criticize it, but we say, well, we're doing what we can at the moment, and maybe at some future point this will come back.
This was creation calls for a little bit of inflation.
Most definitely.
Otherwise, how are you going to do it?
Yeah, you'd say, well, you know, why should I do a etching when Leonardo made such a magnificent chapel mm-hmm. art? What's that? But, boy, if you think like that, you're done for.
Right. All creativity is done for.
Yeah.
Although, maybe it was a necessary opposite to the feeling of worthlessness.
Well, I like that. Yeah. That may be, Jay.
That you're bound to feel or the most difficult of it.
Yeah.
And to overcome it, it's kind of gradually a new place.
Mm-hmm. Should we have a stretch?